Welcome back here with Dave and Rob. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Rob, we talk about planning in a number of different aspects. Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about the four buckets and planning around income and growth and health and legacy and tax and all those kinds of things, you know, one of the areas I don't think we've done a show on, at least not not in my recollection, is sort of pre-planning memorial services. And it tends to be a time of stress, right? Mm-hmm. Something's happened in a family's life, and you know, they've lost someone they've loved, and you know, is it a good idea to have some of those things thought through and planned in advance so that you're not trying to deal with it at that time?
Yeah, I think it's a great conversation to have. I've been through it personally with my own family and felt the stress and feeling like you're just getting thrown decisions that you have to make on the spot and that's it. So I think that the planning is a big thing.
Well, and Teresa Jones is going to join us today, right? Nobody better than the owner and funeral director at Choice Memorial to help us understand what that process mm-hmm. looks like and what's involved. So Teresa, first of all, thank you. Welcome to the show and thank you for taking some time with us.
Thank you, Dave and Rob. I appreciate the invitation to be here with you today and to discuss a topic that I think is extremely important and I'm very passionate about, which is pre-planning funerals.
Terrific.
Yeah, Teresa, I'll jump to it first. I mean, we've been through a pandemic here, and I think people have a heightened sense of health and what could happen and maybe thinking about this more. So have more people started pre-planning memorial services in your experience?
Definitely. So, you know, if I walk back to the beginning of my career, which was 25 years ago, so I started in funeral service in 1997 in beautiful Brandon, Manitoba. And back then, only a handful of people would do their pre-planning. You know, and death and funerals were really taboo topics back then as well. So if we look, you know, ironically, I was actually hired to do the pre-planning program and to build and develop it 25 years ago. If we fast forward now, you know, every funeral home has a website. People can sit and talk about it. Definitely the pandemic has made people think about final expenses and wishes. And people are more educated now, you know, with the internet, with people like you in the final planning with estates and trusts and wills, and that this funeral pre-planning has become a whole part of that as well.
Teresa, maybe you can walk us through that. So part of what this show is about, called More Than Money, is about helping people understand what's available to them, things they can be thinking about, and they can incorporate those ideas that they think are good for their family and so on and so forth. And I'm curious, to your point, I think that the topic of passing along is taboo. It's certainly scary for many people. We've got an aging population, but it is a reality that we're all going to face as an individual and as a family. And I'm curious about you just walking us through the pre-planning process, and for those that are apprehensive, maybe some ideas and thoughts about what they could expect or how you might overcome that, so that you can save the, you know, the anxiety and the stress that will inevitably happen if you haven't thought this through.
I'm going to go on the assumption that you've made that decision, that you're ready to pre-plan and you're in the funeral home and we're starting that process. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is vital statistics. So when a person passes, we register their death with vital statistics. So we're going to ask for things like their legal name, date and place of birth, their parents' names, where they were born, social insurance number, occupation, et cetera, et cetera. That's the first part, is the vital statistics. Second part would be, what is the final form of disposition? Are you choosing a burial or are you choosing a cremation? If you're choosing burial or cremation, is there any type of a service? Are we having a service in a chapel? Are we going to a church? Are we going to your favorite pub? Are we going to the backyard? Where would that service be held? We'll talk about things like a viewing. Would you want somebody to come and to see you prior to the cremation or burial? And if so, would that be just your family? Or would you open that up to your friends and your coworkers? We would also talk about merchandise. So you have that opportunity to choose your own casket or your own cremation container if you're choosing cremation, and your own urn. The cemetery, where are you going to be laid to rest? Do you have a cemetery plot already? Do you want a above ground columbarium for your urn? Do you want your family to scatter? So we'll talk about those, which I call kind of the meat and the bones, the main part of the planning. And some people will leave it there and let their family make those other decisions, such as music and flowers and pallbearers and who's the pastor or the person who's going to officiate or who's going to do the eulogy. I actually have one gentleman who's the guy that always needs to have the last word, and he's videotaped himself giving his own eulogy so that when that time comes, he gets that final word. So we plan all of that. Then we're going to talk about the costs and what does this cost. And we have the option that people can leave what we call an unfunded funeral arrangement, an unfunded pre-arrangement, where all the wishes are there. And then whenever that time of need comes, the cost will be whatever that current price is. The other option families have that they can prepay and lock those prices in. So they would pay at today's rate, and whether that service is needed in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, the laws that govern us say that this is locked in and guaranteed, and it's illegal for us to say, gee, the price of gas went up, I need a little more money. We've agreed and signed a contract for that. When people ask about prepaying and where does the money go, just so people know that that money is safe, it is held third party. Most of the funeral homes in the city here and elsewhere in the province use insurance to hold the funds until the time of need.
Teresa, we always talk about planning and sharing your wishes with family and how with loved ones the best way to relieve that burden feeling, right? The feeling of burden. So how does pre-planning a memorial service do the same? Do you feel that happens?
Absolutely, and probably the easiest way for me to explain that would be to give you an example. So probably about 23 years ago, I had a lady in her 80s that came in, and her husband had passed. And I said to her, would you like him buried or cremated? And she said to me, I don't know. We never had this conversation. So we talked about different options. She decided to have his casket present at the church for a service and to cremate him afterwards. And at the end of the service, she ran up to me and said, Teresa, please don't cremate him. I don't know that that's what I want to do. I said, take your time and make the decision. And a week went by and 2 weeks went by, and I reached out to her, and she was struggling so much because they didn't have the conversation and she couldn't decide if she should bury him or cremate him. So in the very least, when we talk about this, you know, let your loved ones know some of your wishes. Talk to your funeral home. And get different ideas and make sure you communicate what you'd like to do in the least, right? We'd love for people to come into the funeral home and have everything down on pen and paper, but not everybody is comfortable doing that. So at least at the minimum, have that conversation.
You know, I think the pre-planning and that conversation, even your wishes expressed through your personal directives, your will, so on and so forth, right? To take the pressure. I mean, all of this pre-planning, Teresa, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, but all the pre-planning is really designed to, one, ensure that your wishes are respected and that service takes place in accordance with what you would want to have happen. But number two, it takes the burden of those decisions, the uncertainty, the anxiety around, you know, a really difficult event that's taken place in a family. It takes a burden off everybody else. And ultimately, I think the experience then, which is a difficult one, you know, at best, becomes something very different without the anxiety of all the other things on top of it. Would that be a fair assessment of, you know, of the results of taking care of those arrangements in advance?
I've never had somebody say, gee, I wish mom or dad hadn't done this ahead of time. But the number of people that say I'm so grateful that they came and did this and had everything laid out. And, you know, I'd ask your listeners a question right now, and it's an uncomfortable question, but if something happened to you right this moment and you passed, who is that person that then has to go and choose that funeral home, go and make those decisions, decide on burial and cremation and viewing and clothing and all of those things that have to be decided when you haven't laid out the groundwork for them? That's a really big task in the middle of intense grief for families.
Teresa, we've got about a minute to go, and I'm going to ask you a question about trends. You've been in the business a long time. I'm very curious, just on a personal interest, what have you seen change over the past 20 years?
Probably the biggest change that I've seen is the trend from that full church traditional funeral with the burial to a lesser expensive basic cremation. So a lot of families nowadays are saying, you know what, I don't want all the bells and the whistles. I just want a cremation, and then I want my family to go have a party or go have a gathering somewhere else. That traditional funeral has changed, right? We're seeing, you know, I want you to raise a glass and toast to me, and I don't want you to cry. I want it to be more of a celebration. So a huge, huge difference in the 25 years, especially that I've been in the profession.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today. But before we let you go, if somebody wants to get a hold of you for further information, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can go to our website, which is choicememorial.com. You can call us at 403-277-7343. That's Choice Memorial. And we're here to educate people. We're zero pressure. We're here to answer any questions that you have. We invite you to come in and talk to us. And there's no pressure. We are just here to give you the information so that you can make an informed decision.
Teresa, thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dave and Rob.
We've been joined by Teresa Jones, owner and funeral director at Choice Memorial. Rob, that's all part of the journey that we're going to go on, as we move into and through retirement, is that final step. Mm-hmm. And it's not the final step for the family, it'll be the final step for an individual. But again, planning is an important part of it. Now, when things go crazy, markets go crazy, things are up and down, right? Planning is one of your best tools to make sure you can navigate the choppiness, the uncertainty, the anxiety of getting through, you know, these moments in time. And we've got to talk about the structure and discipline necessary to do that at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, you got it, Dave. Join us Tuesday, May 24th, 7 p.m. live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Well, what can memorial planning teach us about navigating uncertain markets? Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.